be giving away tickets tomorrow, so please do listen in. And thank you, Charlie, for calling. I'm sorry you didn't win today. Maybe you can try tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News. Where's the music? It's not playing.
Are we still on air?
We're still on air.
Hi.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Recovery workers have found all of the bodies now in the wreckage of a skydiver's plane near White Pass, Washington State.
Skydivers are a tight-knit group. We lost our little brother on there, Casey Craig. But he'd want everybody to know that he died living the way he wanted to live.
Her name is Ivy Green, Nisha Marvel with the state's DOT.
There's no indication that anyone was able to get out of the plane. As I understand it, the radar information shows a very steep and rapid decline, and that didn't leave much room for reaction.
Indications are the plane went virtually straight in. The NTSB is going to take a long time trying to figure it out. It'll cost more this winter just to keep warm.
We're looking at heating oil up about 22%. And natural gas, about 10%.
That's Guy Caruso at the Energy Information Administration. Republicans debate on economic issues on CNBC in Dearborn, Michigan. Live now to CBS's Dan Revive.
It just ended, Harley. Placed in the middle by debate organizers, Fred Thompson, tallest of the nine candidates, was steady, not flashy in his first debate. He did say, quote, "It was getting boring without me." And on the economy,
"It's not all gloom and doom. We want to live in a world and a country that's free and a free market, people who play by the rules."
The others did not attack Thompson, the newcomer.
"I did it. He didn't."
We did have Rudy Giuliani criticizing Mitt Romney for not being enough of a tax cutter, and Romney shot back.
"It's all slime, but it's baloney. Mayor, you got to check your facts."
No. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, from one side of the nation to the other, spent the summer rounding up violent street gang members. More than 1,300 of them. CBS's Bob Orr.
"These are violent criminals. Enterprises made up primarily of people who were born overseas. Many of them have come here illegally and have participated in illegal activity."
It was called Operation Community Shield. American Energy in Ohio promises to clean up its smokestacks, stop pumping acid rain into eastern states.
The settlement heads off a trial that was set to begin this morning against AEP, which demands pollution controls at its 16 plants. The company has agreed to spend $4.6 billion to reduce emissions. The government says that will translate into a $32 billion reduction in health care spending each year.
That's CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis. Now, this is one of those whoa stories. That young sheriff's deputy who killed his ex-girlfriend and five others in Crandon, Wisconsin, was shot in the arm by a police sniper. But the state attorney general, J.B. Van Hollen, says he shot himself three times.
"The three gunshot wounds to the head included two non-fatal rounds with entry points below the chin and one fatal shot that entered Peterson through the right side of the head."
Whoa. On Wall Street, record territory for the S&P and the Dow. The Dow gained 120 points. S&P up 12.5. NASDAQ picked up 16. This is CBS News.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
Hi, sir.
Hello.
Welcome to Staples.
Ahoy there, matey. I'm setting sail today, and I be needing some business cards right quick.
We can do that right here. You'll even get 100 free. But you're a pirate.
Aye, but I'm a pretty darn good web developer to boot.
Well, looking professional is important.
Can I get me logo on them?
Of course. Let me guess. Skull and crossbones?
Stop by any Staples and get 100 business cards free when you order 100 or more. We print them right in the store while you wait.
Yar, 100 free business cards. Tis a sweet deal.
Staples. That was easy.
If you have a stressful job, go back to it slowly after a heart attack. CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington.
If you have a heart attack, you double your risk of having another one or experiencing some other serious coronary problem if you have a high-stress job. That, according to a study of nearly 1,000 heart attack survivors in Canada. It appears in the Journal of the American Medical Association. This connection is often ignored when doctors chart a lifestyle course for heart attack survivors.
Stories this week on the stresses of the job and a bad marriage. Some folks need to tread carefully, huh? Stealing power company cable to get the copper isn't so smart. In Germany, a man with a set of those big two-handed cable cutters was found next to his pile of stolen wire. The force of the spark when he cut into the live 10,000-volt cable took one of his hands off. Fortunately, the other hand remained with readable fingerprints because the rest of him was charred beyond recognition. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
When you have a family, it's always a good time to buy.
It's a great move-up market.
The interest rates are low.
It didn't make sense for us to spend the same amount of money renting something when we could own it.
Working with a realtor took all the guesswork out.
This is the best market in years in terms of choice.
Interest rates are at historic lows. Home choices have increased, and prices are favorable. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
If we didn't buy now, we would have missed the opportunity on this home.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Here we have the Carrier Infinity 96 gas furnace.
Wow.
It features an AFUE rating of up to 96.6% and 40 to 120,000 BTUH capacity.
Great. I have no idea what that means.
You could save up to 33% on heating costs.
Now that I understand.
Carrier, turn to the experts. For a limited time during Cool Cash, get from $50 to $1,200 cash back on qualifying Carrier Infinity systems. Savings compared to previous Carrier models. See participating dealer for details.
Peter B. Collins!
Yeah, he's here again to haunt you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco. A little music to get the show started from Genesis. That's Phil Collins in the band. And because we share a surname and a hairline, a lot of people call me Phil. Somebody did it just last week. And they're performing live in San Jose at a corporate arena tonight, and I'm going to go check them out. Last saw them about 12, 13 years ago. And if you like that pretentious art rock from England in the 70s and 80s, well, that's why I like Genesis. Well, I'll have a report for you tomorrow. We'll see how they do. On today's program, we're first going to tell you about a new pesticide approved by the Bush EPA that has scientists hopping mad. It's not approved in California yet. We'll give you the lowdown here in just a moment. Coming up later this hour, Larry Korb returns. Lawrence J. Korb is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He served in the Reagan administration as an undersecretary of the Army. And we'll talk about Iran and Iraq, the British pulling out of southern Iraq, and a surprise supplement of troops, a surge of troops from a former Soviet republic. We'll tell you about that with Larry Korb later this hour. Next hour, we're going to take on the continuing struggle against religious fundamentalism in the military. Mikey Weinstein returns. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation has filed lawsuits against the Pentagon, and we'll tell you about them. Jason Leopold will join us for that section. He writes for truthout.org and has been covering these issues in some detail. And then after we talk with Mikey, Jason will stay on to update us on what appears to be the next Democratic cave-in on the extension of the, what I call the NSA amnesty bill. We'll get the lowdown on that from Jason a little bit later on. And then we'll kick off the free speech zone in our third and final hour with Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Brent Wilkes, the guy who allegedly bribed Duke Cunningham, who is now in jail for the bribery, he's on trial in San Diego. We'll get details on that. The latest on Larry Craig's non-resignation. And a recent move by the White House, a leak
that exposed a back channel to Osama. We'll tell you about that with Melanie Sloan. And we'll take lots of your phone calls, too. You can call in at any time, right now, or in the free speech zone after 5 o'clock Pacific. That toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And my personal email is open and available. Drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Joining us now is Dr. Ted Shetler. He is the science director at the organization called the Science and Environmental Health Network. And in shorthand, they do what's called ecological medicine. We'll get him to define that for us in a moment. Dr. Shetler has published Generations at Risk, Reproductive Health and the Environment from MIT Press in 1999, and In Harm's Way, Toxic Threats to Child Development, published by Greater Boston Physicians for Social Responsibility a few years ago in 2000. Dr. Shetler, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation. It's my pleasure.
Well, I noted with alarm an article over the weekend about a group of scientists, including yourself, who have signed a letter to the EPA, some 54 scientists, including 6 Nobel Prize winners, protesting the EPA's approval of a new drug that, I guess, a pesticide that will be marketed under the name Midas. And this is what appears to be a highly toxic fumigant that is intended to replace methyl bromide. So why don't we start with methyl bromide. What did it do and why was it banned?
Methyl bromide is used in certain kinds of agriculture as a soil fumigant. It's put onto or into the ground underneath tarpaulins under strictly controlled conditions, hopefully, in order to sterilize the ground so that certain kinds of weeds will not interfere with the growth of primarily strawberries, although it's also used in preparing the ground for tomatoes and a few other crops. But strawberries are one of the biggest crops for which it was used.
Mm-hmm. And what's the history there? It was banned, but I don't recall when.
Yeah, well, methyl bromide is still widely used in the United States.
Oh, it is. I thought it had been proscribed.
But it's under considerable pressure because it's been banned and headed for phase-out under the Montreal Protocol. You may recall back in 1987 it was decided that we learned that chemicals that we were putting into the atmosphere were actually assaulting the ozone layer up in the stratosphere, allowing harmful ultraviolet rays to penetrate to the Earth in ways that they hadn't previously. And we discovered, quite by accident, that this was happening and that methyl bromide was one of the contributors to this. So there was a lot of pressure on getting methyl bromide out of agricultural use so we didn't continue to deplete the ozone layer.
So is it currently in use in, say, California strawberry fields?
It is, and it has been allowed to be continued to be used by the EPA, but there's a lot of pressure on farmers to stop using it and to abide by the restrictions that were imposed by the Montreal Protocol.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Ted Shetler here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And for our listeners in agriculture in Monterey County, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz area, also those who work on farms or own farms in the Sacramento area or the Delta, feel free to give us a call if you have questions or comments. Dr. Shetler's with us till the bottom of the hour, and my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. Now, methyl iodide is proposed by the EPA under this brand name of Midas to replace methyl bromide. Is there any safety enhancement from this kind of a switch proposed?
No, the main reason for a switch is because of the pressure on methyl bromide. So there's been a lot of sense of urgency about finding a replacement for methyl bromide. And methyl iodide, according to the U.S. EPA, comes as close as anything now available as a kind of drop-in replacement for methyl bromide. This formulation that's been approved, I understand, will actually be a mixture of methyl iodide and chloropicrin, the combination of which is more potent, and chloropicrin has been used in combination with methyl bromide in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. And will the methyl iodide be applied in the same manner under tarps, that sort of thing?
Well, that's the intention, that it would be applied under tarps, under strictly controlled conditions. The advantage to methyl iodide that has made this come about is that chemists and the EPA believe that it will degrade in sunlight sufficiently fast so that it will not represent a hazard to the ozone layer, and that's why the move has gone in this direction. But, of course, they were concerned about the potential health effects of this chemical as well, and so were required to do a risk assessment to see what sorts of hazardous properties there are with this replacement, methyl iodide, and what kind of threats it might pose to farm workers and the surrounding community. But it's in that risk assessment that I and some of my colleagues who signed the letter quarreled.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Shedler, I'm going to read you some comments attributed to the EPA here, and if your BS detector goes off, just stop me, okay?
Okay.
It says, the EPA gave the go-ahead for one-year use of a new agricultural pesticide, saying its own scientific review overrides health concerns expressed by more than 50 chemists and other scientists, yourself included.
Well, the reason why I quarrel with that statement is that I have a very specific concern, which I stated to officials of the EPA, about the impact of this chemical on the developing brain of children. Now, the reason I bring that up is not a fishing expedition, but this chemical is known to be highly toxic to the nervous system of adults. There are many case reports published in the medical literature in which a worker was inadvertently exposed to this chemical by getting it on the skin or inhaling it and suffering severe neurological symptoms thereafter, including seizures, loss of consciousness, and in some cases persistent psychiatric symptoms. Now, that's in an adult, and we know from experience from many other chemicals, other pesticides, lead, mercury, alcohol, a whole variety of other chemicals that are often environmental contaminants, that the developing brain of babies is far more sensitive to the effects of these chemicals than the adult brain.
And the EPA, therefore, wouldn't the EPA say there aren't any babies out in these fields under the tarps, so we don't have anything to worry about?
Yeah, the only problem is that this chemical is likely to escape from under the tarps and expose either workers or people in nearby communities.
And can it leach into the agricultural products? Can you have strawberries tainted with this methyl iodide?
It will break down, and you will have strawberries that may contain the iodine from this chemical, but not the formulation of methyl iodide.
I see.
So that's not likely to be an issue. There is some concern that this chemical, because it's so water-soluble, will leach into groundwater. The EPA believes that that's not likely to happen, but it's still, in my view and in the view of other chemists that signed this letter, remains a concern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the EPA believes that they can prescribe buffer zones around fields where this is used and set up restrictions that are sufficient to protect the surrounding community. This is, in my view, a prescription that's based on faith that this can and will be done, that there will be no pregnant women, no infants, and no children exposed to this because everything will go exactly according to the prescribed restrictions that are put on this chemical. But we know that, in fact, from looking at the history with methyl bromide and other chemicals, that simply isn't going to happen. There will be times when these tarps don't do their job, when the chemical leaks from underneath them, when there will be people in the fields before they should be, when there will be wind blowing in certain directions that will carry this chemical into surrounding communities. It is going to happen. And the question I have is, when that happens, what do we know about the effect on developing babies? And the answer is, we don't.
And we're going to take a break. We'll return with Dr. Ted Shedler. He is the science director at the Science and Environmental Health Network. If you have a question or a comment about this new pesticide proposed for approval by the EPA, give us a call right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show from San Francisco, 23 minutes after the hour, and I smell rain in the air. There's something on its way in from the Pacific. We're talking with Dr. Ted Shetler about the EPA's pending approval of a new pesticide for use, particularly in strawberry farming, perhaps in other applications as well. It is going to be marketed under the name Midas, and its chemical compound is methyl iodide, developed by a Tokyo-based company called Arista Life Science Corporation. Hey, at least it's not another Monsanto product. And Ted Shetler is the science director at the Science and Environmental Health Network. You can visit their website at sehn.org, sehn.org. And Dr. Shetler, tell us what ecological medicine means to you.
Well, ecological medicine is an attempt to reconcile and to find convergence across clinical medicine, public health, and ecological or ecosystem health, and recognizing the strong interdependency and interactions whereby individuals influence the environment, and in turn the environment influences individuals and community health.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to see whether framing health and medicine in a larger way like that offers us interesting and important insights in how we might interact with our world in different ways, both to reduce the need for clinical medical care as well as responding to some of the environmental impacts that humans are responsible for that we all see and know quite well.
Right. Let's go to Port Orford, Oregon, where James is on the line. James, welcome. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How you doing?
Good.
In 1975, up in Michigan, there was inadvertently placed in the cattle feed for dairy cows polybromated biphenyls. And I believe that PBBs and PCBs have essentially the same effects upon the human body. And they're now in PBBs for flame retardant in clothing and in electronics. What's the lifespan of this material, do you think?
All right. Dr. Shetler, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, the material that's being used as flame retardants are similar but not quite the same as the PBBs. They're called polybrominated diphenyl ethers, or PBDEs. It's an alphabet soup here.
Yeah, and we'll have subtitles on to help people who are chemically impaired like me.
There are some similarities, but they're not the same. But I think your caller's point is a good one, that we have learned from PCBs and to some extent from the PBBs that accidentally got into the cattle feed in Michigan, that these are chemicals that we don't want to have in use because they're persistent and they bioaccumulate. And we're learning exactly the same thing with the flame retardants, where we measure the levels of these chemicals in people's blood and in the general environment, and we found that we've loaded ourselves up with these just like we did with PCBs. So it's a lesson that we didn't learn very well.
James, thanks for the question, and keep these letters in mind. PBC is okay. PCBs and PBBs, not okay. Laura in Sacramento, you're next. Welcome to the program.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello. Go right ahead.
Hi. My gripe is with the whole regulatory system of the United States that puts the onus on the consumer somewhere well down the line to show the causal effect, that it's not incumbent upon the industry to prove the product is safe or fit for the intended purpose before it goes on the market. And I know that historically we have used the third world as a dumping ground for those chemicals that we ultimately determined to be conclusively incompatible with human health.
I think this is...
And now it appears that the reverse is true, particularly with regards to Europe, where their standards are very high, where they actually appear to have concern for consumer health, and they put the onus on products. And
right.
It looks like...
Laura, I got to cut you short just for time. Dr. Shetler, I think this is right up your alley. About 30 seconds, please.
Well, Laura's exactly right that the burden of proof is in the wrong place in the United States. Now, with the pesticide that we're talking about here, it has undergone some testing, but my point is it hasn't undergone adequate testing. Laura's point about other industrial chemicals is exactly right, and that we really need to address through policy overhaul.
And methyl iodide not approved yet in California, correct?
Not approved yet, but just recently approved by the U.S. EPA, as you noted.
Gotcha. Dr. Shetler, thank you for your time. We'll talk again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And again, the website is sehn.org, the Science and Environmental Health Network. Coming up next, Lawrence Korb joins us from the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Radio Shack. Do more with your wireless phone with accessories from Radio Shack, where they say, don't just buy stuff, do stuff. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. In the Archives of Internal Medicine is a study that was done of 9,011 British civil servants, most of them married. In 12 years of follow-up, 589 of them had heart attacks. And it turned out that there was a strong correlation between the incidence of heart trouble and marital trouble. Husband and wife not getting along. Husbands and wives who make each other angry can also make each other die early. The story after this. The holidays are fast approaching, but before you head over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house, or anywhere for that matter, do yourself a favor. Stop in to your neighborhood Radio Shack and check out the Mio Ultra Thin GPS. It comes preloaded with tons of maps and points of interest, and its super slim design and large 4.3-inch LCD screen are usually only reserved for the higher-priced models. Plus, only Radio Shack has it, so make your grandma proud and visit your neighborhood Radio Shack today, where you don't just buy stuff, you do stuff.
Are you thinking about buying one of those inexpensive memory foam mattresses? Think again. Tempur-Pedic is the only mattress made from authentic Tempur material. The one that shapes and contours to your body, guaranteeing a restful, rejuvenating night's sleep. Those knockoffs don't even come close. Call Tempur-Pedic today at 1-800-805-3495, and they'll send you a free video, a sample of the proprietary Tempur material, and a 90-day trial certificate. You won't get that from those other guys. Tempur-Pedic is the real deal. Call 1-800-805-3495.
It's not just unhappily married couples who can do each other in with stress. Any close relationship that produces stress, whether it's parents and kids, in-laws, even friends we're close to but who get on our nerves, can cause worries, problems, and stress. And that's the way the question was asked of the British civil servants in the survey. To what extent does this other person give you worries, problems, and stress? And sure enough, those with the highest negative scores on the questionnaire turned out to have the highest risks for heart disease, even taking such other risks as obesity, high blood pressure, and smoking into consideration. Previously, other studies had shown that married people tend to live longer. The regular support, companionship, and steadiness of a marriage can make up for some of the stress of the outside world. But lead author of the study, Roberto De Voghi, a researcher at the University of London, says, okay, being married is in general good, but be careful about the kind of person you have married. The quality of the relationship matters, he says. So what are you supposed to do? Get therapy? Get a divorce? James Coyne, a University of Pennsylvania psychology professor, says, it is still not clear what to recommend. When couples say, I'm sick to death of you and your whatever it is, they may be right. The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
On this program, we often present views and voices from people who know much more than I do. And you just heard the limits of my knowledge of chemistry and pesticides. Now we'll check on my limits about foreign policy and, you know, that war in Iraq thing. Lawrence J. Korb joins us. Larry Korb served in the Reagan administration in the Pentagon. He is now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington. Larry, thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be with you.
Quite a bit to talk about, and let's start with the picture with the British announcing yesterday that they are pulling half of their remaining 5,000 troops out of southern Iraq, where they've been hunkered down outside of the city of Basra, essentially in a hands-off mode. And the new prime minister there in Britain is signaling that he hopes to bring all British troops home sometime in 2008. Is this a significant development, and is it going to require the U.S. to redeploy or resurge in order to try to maintain some control over the southern portions of Iraq?
Well, it's going to face the U.S. with a very difficult choice, because if they redeploy troops from Baghdad, for example, then they're going to risk undermining at least the, you know, the temporary gains that they have made.
Well, we've got everything under control in Anbar, right?
We've seen some temporary gains, you know, in places like that before. So, I mean, really what it is, I mean, the British election will be in early 2009. So what, you know, Prime Minister Brown is saying is, you know, by the time the next election, there's not going to be any more troops. It's not going to be an election issue. And I think it's also very important psychologically, because, you know, the British sent 45,000 troops in, and other than the British, nobody really had very many troops there. And the fact is that they're gone, I think, sends a signal that, you know, the world has said that you can't win this thing militarily. Just staying there and taking, you know, more casualties is not going to, you know, solve the situation.
Well, and the truth is that over the last year and a half, the British have ceded more and more control in the port city of Basra to the Shiite militias that are essentially in charge.
That's right, which are, among other things, you know, infiltrated by the Iranians.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also many have loyalties either to Skiri, the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq, or to Muqtada al-Sadr.
That's right. And, you know, what's happened many times is, you know, they end up fighting it out. You had a couple of the provincial governors who have been killed here in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. So as you look at the picture, is this a positive development? Is Britain leaving because things are just, you know, on a groovy path? And what was Ryan Crocker's line was, the trajectory is upward, the slope is not steep.
Yeah, I mean, they're leaving for domestic political reasons. As well as military, the British Army Chief of Staff basically said, look, you can't win in Iraq and Afghanistan. You're going to have to make up your mind. And the British have decided, I think, quite rightly, to focus on Afghanistan with the, you know, with the troops. And so by taking them out, they'll be able to, you know, put more troops into Afghanistan.
Now, Larry Korb, I heard the news yesterday that kind of dominated coverage that Britain has announced this drawdown and its intention to ultimately pull out all of its troops from Iraq, only 5,000 remaining, so it's hardly significant. But I think a lot of people overlooked the surge in the so-called coalition of the billing. And here it is on page A14 of the New York Times today. The former Soviet Republic of Georgia has announced that they are going to more than double its troop levels in Iraq. They were at 850, and they are now agreeing to put a total of 2,000 sets of boots on the ground. And they've even agreed that they'll let them leave the green zone occasionally. So they may actually, you know, do something instead of polish their boots.
The psychology, it's been us and the British, mm-hmm. you know, who have done this. In fact, I really believe that had then Prime Minister Blair, you know, not agreed to go along with us, I don't think the United States could have done it. I think the American people really felt that with the British, this was at least another significant nation and a particular country that had experience in the region.
So does Georgia offer troops with some special expertise, or is it simply that Saakashvili, their president there, wants to cozy up to the American government?
Yeah, I think it's certainly the latter, that, in fact, this, you know, the United States can portray this as, well, you know, other countries are stepping up to the plate. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the British are first-class military. You're not going to get a military that's really capable of shouldering much of the security burden here.
Larry Korb is with us from the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or a comment, you can bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. He's with us till the top of the hour, so feel free to call with your comment or question. Larry, next I want to talk about the way the Bush administration keeps ratcheting up the rhetoric. And it makes me very uncomfortable when General Petraeus weighs in on the political side. We saw that the Senate, in an effort that I deplore, and I hear John Edwards' words ringing, that he believes that Senator Clinton and others who supported this Kyle Lieberman resolution are authorizing the president, at least in a first-step manner, to attack Iran. And over the weekend, Petraeus chimed in. And, of course, the Senate resolution named the Revolutionary Guard, which is a large portion of the Iranian military, as a terrorist group. And Petraeus upped the ante by naming the Iranian ambassador to Iraq as a member of the Quds Force, which is an elite portion of the Republican Guard. Now, loosely, you're a military guy. Help me here. Is this like calling the Navy a terrorist organization, and that the Navy SEALs, the elite group inside the Navy, are even worse, like the Quds Force?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it is. I mean, the Revolutionary Guards were started basically when they overthrew the Shah, and they were, you know, this is the force that's loyal to the clerics or the mullahs who really run the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're their force. Yeah, you're right. I mean, your analogy is very good. It would like be saying, well, our special forces are terrorists,
mm-hmm.
Because they're operating in, you know, some 100 countries around the world doing, you know, various things.
Well, and our favorite leisure-suited president of Iran, neenered back by naming the CIA as a terrorist organization. So this seems to be kind of a schoolyard exercise in name-calling, but underlying it, by naming the Quds Force and the Revolutionary Guard as terrorist entities, Bush may declare that he has the legal right to attack Iran because these groups have been labeled terrorists.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I think the Congress has to be so careful. You know, they went down this slope in the 90s when they passed a resolution saying, you know, it was the policy of the United States to overthrow the regime of Saddam Hussein. And, you know, people signed it. Nobody ever thought that they would, you know, keep going forward. And then, of course, after in 2002, they actually had the vote to authorize the president, you know, to use force. I mean, Congress, I don't know if you saw the op-ed by former Governor Cuomo over
the
weekend,
which
I thought was terrific.
It sure was.
He said, look, you got the power. You know, tell him you want to go to war in Iran. Come up and ask for a declaration. None of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And many of us are concerned because the supplemental that ultimately was passed by the Congress right before Memorial Day had included an explicit ban on an attack on Iran without further congressional approval. That was removed. And so there are many of us progressives who are very concerned that there's inadequate oversight of the warmongering of the Bush administration.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that whenever we get out of this mess in Iraq, you know, we're going to have to look back and find out a lot of our institutions, which we want to serve as checks and balances, haven't played their appropriate role. And certainly the Congress would be one. And then, of course, you have the situation, you know, members of the media like Judy Miller of the New York Times repeating some of those claims about chemical weapons without checking them out. Members of the academic community, I mean, you know, some of them, my colleagues in think tanks, go over there and come back and write these glowing reports after, you know, going through sort of a Pentagon guided tour. So a lot of people have not been as skeptical as they should have.
Now, what about this commentary from General Petraeus? Because, number one, he is embracing the talking points of the Bush administration on this idea that Iran is responsible for Americans who are dying in Iraq, and that this becomes a basis for some sort of response or retaliation by the U.S. against Iran. And secondly, by naming the Iranian ambassador to Iraq as an individual terrorist because he is a member of the Quds Force, Number one, this seems counterproductive. And number two, the ambassador is covered by diplomatic immunity, at least in many respects. So we can call him this name, and it doesn't really have any meaningful effect.
No, it doesn't. And see, what this becomes is an excuse to say, among other things, why we have not done as well as, you know, the administration had claimed, and say, well, it's not just fighting, you know, the people in Iraq. I mean, we've rotated the enemies. At first, they were dead-enders, and then the big thing when Petraeus got over there earlier this year was al-Qaeda in Iraq, even though they're less than 10% of the people causing the violence, and now, of course, it's Iran, and that basically transforms it from sort of dealing with a civil war into this, you know, global conflict.
And one of the central arguments here is that Iran is a supplier of EFPs, these munitions that enhance IEDs and turn them into bigger bombs and cause more damage, and other materiel that is coming in. And one of the arguments that I heard, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but the more progressive spokesman who was on the NewsHour on PBS last night was saying, well, you know, a lot of this is being shipped from Iran into Iraq to support the Shiite government in its battle with the Sunnis, and essentially they're arming for the civil war. And that he did not believe that it's Iran's intention that these munitions be used against Americans.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that there are only two groups who are supporting Maliki, primarily us and the Iranians, in terms, I mean, you know, the people we've made this agreement with up in Al-Anbar, the Sunnis, they don't like them. Some of the Shias, you know, don't like them. They've all walked out of the government, and Iran does support the Maliki government. However, I think one thing, there's no doubt in my mind that the Iranians are trying to cause some trouble for Americans. Because, remember, they were very helpful to us in Afghanistan. And for their reward for that, they got put on the axis of evil. After we went into Iraq, they offered to sit down and negotiate with us, and we said, no, we don't want to talk to you. So they simply don't trust us, and so they don't want us to basically be in a position where we could launch attacks on them from Iraq, and so they're going to keep us pinned down and cause us problems. The other thing is, remember that a lot of people in these militias lived in Iran during Saddam's time, so I have no doubt that they have connections with them.
But does that amount to a casus belli? Does the U.S. have a strong enough evidence that would permit us to launch a military assault on Iran over these issues?
No, it doesn't. But, again, as we've seen, you know, this administration really pushes the envelope when it comes to comes to these issues. No, it doesn't. But it does. You know, it's interesting. Look at the run up to the war in Iraq. By the time we went in, 70% of the American people thought that Saddam was connected to 9/11.
Yeah.
Basically, by the way that, you know, they put stories out, or the famous weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, none of which was true.
Big lies die hard. We're going to take a break and return with Larry Korb, Lawrence J. Korb from the Center for American Progress. Your calls and comments coming up, too, in the next segment. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
In The Wizard of Oz, we were taken on a journey with the spirits of Dorothy, her dog Toto, a tin man in search of a heart, and a lion in search of courage. A journey to find the wonderful wizard. And along the way, adventure and friend much alien to our own. Want to take a real spirit ride? 11 a.m. Saturday morning, KRXA 540, The Quantum Leap. This week, miraculous healings with all the trimmings.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Mikey Weinstein returns from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. They filed lawsuits challenging what they see as proselytizing in the military and hazing of people who don't play along with Christianity as the one and only religion. We'll hear more about that coming up in about 12 minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Larry Korb is with us. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And we're joined by John from Carmel Valley with a comment. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to respond to your guest's earlier remark about how crucial Tony Blair was in the whole involvement of the UK in the Iraq thing. And I not only couldn't agree more, but every day that passes, I find myself more bothered by that role, because even with the Congress recently yielding so many times to Bush and enabling him to get even more than he asked for, I still think the greatest enabler Bush ever had after 9/11 itself was Tony Blair. And I have a question. Now that Britain is extricating itself from Iraq, and Blair supposedly never had more than 35%, if even that, of the British public behind him, what is the view now in Britain regarding their having sided the way they did with Bush in this whole mess?
Great question, Larry. You got a comment?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the British public have lost faith in Blair. And, I mean, Blair, who had did a lot of good things, let's leave Iraq aside. I mean, the economy is very good. He had some, you know, good ideas about the Middle East. His reputation is forever tarnished. It's sort of like Lyndon Johnson in Vietnam, because the British people were opposed to what they found out to a certain extent, like we did here. They cooked the books. And that he never really put his foot down when Bush didn't send enough overall troops to, you know, deal with the aftermath of the fall of Saddam Hussein, because, you know, the British had been there. I mean, they know what it was like to, try and deal with the situation in Iraq.
Another question.
Well, just one sec, John. I want to jump in here, because Gordon Brown has recently given some indication that he would support a U.S. strike on Iran. How would that play in the British Isles, Larry?
Well, I don't think that would play very, very well at all, because, again, I mean, people realize that it's one thing to bomb a country or strike it. The question is, what do you do then? And do we, you know, I mean, we got Iraq, we got Afghanistan, and we have enough troops to do something about Iraq. And they also know, I mean, about Iran, that the Iran could really make our life miserable in Iraq, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, reignite Hezbollah and, you know, get that cauldron burning again. So I think that the people in the United Kingdom basically are saying, wait a second here, you know, if you do that, you know, then what, and how are we going to deal with it?
Yeah. John, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think the biggest message, and this is an extremely grim message that comes out of the whole Blair involvement, is that if he could take his country with essentially no real support for his war into that god-awful mess, it shows that if the chief executive of a power like the UK or the US decides to go for it, there really isn't much to restrain him. There never was, and there certainly isn't now, and that is a nightmare.
It
and
sure
if
is.
We ever are able to correct that, we'll really have accomplished something.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your comment. Larry Korb, I want to direct our listeners to the Huffington Post website, where you posted an item on October 7th on Sunday, entitled "The Government, Not Blackwater, Should Have the Monopoly of Force." And it's no longer on the front page, but if you just Google Korb, K-O-R-B, or, I mean, put it in the search window there at Huffington Post, you should be able to find this piece. And I think you make a very important point, because we've seen the worst, I guess, in recent weeks, exposed about Blackwater, Triple Canopy, and DynCorp. Who have armed contractors, I call them mercenaries, doing functions that you argue are properly or should be properly assigned to our own uniformed military personnel.
That's right. I mean, if the government gives up the monopoly of force, then you've got a real problem. I mean, as I pointed out there, it's one thing to hire private firms to do the, you know, what the military used to call KP, you know, feed the troops, and that's great, help with the maintenance, but you don't want them out engaging the enemy, because you don't have the same control over them that you got over your troops. You don't even know who they're going to hire. When I was in Iraq in April, I was guarded by two former members of the South African military.
Mm-hmm. Working for Blackwater.
Well, they weren't working. It was with another company that they were worked for. It wasn't Blackwater people. I didn't rate up that high, you
I
know,
see.
In terms of the protection that I got. But they were former, you know, members of the South African military, and again, if in protecting an American, they had shot somebody, it would have been just like an American doing it.
Well, and from Bremer on forward, they've known the kind of cowboy tactics that have been used by these armed contractors,
and
including, you know, driving down the street the wrong way, driving over people, just operating as if they had complete immunity and impunity. And
they operate like they own the place.
Yeah. And so while these revelations are certainly embarrassing, and the sudden the show of spine by the Maliki government is an interesting development, they've now said that they want Blackwater to pay millions of dollars to the families of the people they killed, and that they want Blackwater out of there within 6 months. This throws down a gauntlet for the occupiers.
Well, it does. I think it really does. And again, we ever get ourselves out of this mess, we're going to have to stop back and, you know, step back and say, what does the military have to do? If you don't have a big enough military, either get one or don't be using it so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have to have accountability, because the way these rogues have operated is not in the best interest even of our occupation.
No, it's not. No, they've undermined. And as I pointed out in that piece, I mean, they went into Fallujah in the midst of a military operation and then created such outrage when those four of them, you know, were killed and hung, that it forced the U.S. government to get our military to do something which, you know, the Marine commanders on the ground didn't want to do.
Well, we need to also hold Blackwater accountable for the loss of those four individuals, because their families have attempted to sue, and Blackwater sues them back to just try to cost more money. It's called a slap suit, and prevent them from moving forward.
Well, Larry, they certainly have.
Yeah, Larry, thank you for your time today.
Good
always
to
a pleasure
you,
to
yeah.
talk with you. Larry
Take
Korb
care.
From the Center for American Progress. Coming up next, Mikey Weinstein checks in from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and reporter Jason Leopold's going to join us for that segment, too. It's straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A settlement in the long battle over acid rain.
The core of the settlement is a $4.6 billion plan to sharply reduce hazardous emissions over the next decade.
Hold on to your wallets.
A cold winter ahead, home heating prices to rise. I'm Dan Ravine.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. American Electric Power Company, whose coal-fired plants generate electricity for customers in 11 states, has reached a settlement in the 8-year-long dispute over acid rain. CBS News correspondent Stephanie Lambidakis reports.
The settlement follows a protracted court fight between American Electric Power, or AEP, and the government environmental groups and eight states who blame coal-fired emissions for massive amounts of acid rain and smog across the Northeast. While AEP will pay a $15 million fine, it will spend $4.6 billion to reduce pollution by 813,000 tons per year, and all sides agree that that is the most important element of today's settlement.
A lawyer for the Natural Resources Defense Council calls this settlement a blueprint for confronting global warming. Now this.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Sweet! I've been waiting for lunch all day!
Me too! Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips or your cookie?
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine!
Rich chocolate Ovaltine!
An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way!
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way!
Two cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way!
Aww! More Ovaltine, please!
That Christmas Club account might have to pay your heating bills this winter. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv explains.
It's bad enough to hear that the price of energy is higher than last year. Natural gas up 6%. Worst of all, heating oil used in the Northeast up 16%. But also the Energy Department expert Guy Caruso said we have to add about 6% more because it won't be so mild as last winter.
Colder than weather this year than last year means we're going to have higher consumption of winter fuels.
As for gassing up our cars, the average price next year up a little, $2.83 a gallon. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Today's forecast helped push the price of oil back above $80 a barrel. Another possible case of contaminated food, this time it's pot pies. ConAgra Foods of Omaha has been notified that its banquet pot pies have been linked to a salmonella outbreak in several states.
We have halted production of the product and have voluntarily done so.
Company spokeswoman Stephanie Childs.
ConAgra Foods and the U.S. Department of Agriculture are advising consumers not to eat banquet turkey pot pies or banquet chicken pot pies.
But at the same time, ConAgra insists the products are safe if cooked properly. Officials at the Centers for Disease Control say they're tracking a large salmonella outbreak. Earlier this year, a different outbreak forced ConAgra to recall Peter Pan and other brands of peanut butter. Starbucks is recalling 250,000 children's plastic cups made in China because they can break and pose a choking hazard. Fred Thompson made his debut on the Republican presidential debate circuit this afternoon. His big theme, fiscal discipline.
We are spending money we do not have. We are on a mandatory spending lockdown that is pushing us in a direction that is unsustainable. We're spending the money of future generations and those yet to be born.
The forum in Dearborn, Michigan was broadcast by MSNBC. The former Tennessee senator and actor said the economy is strong and there's no reason to believe we're headed for a recession. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney got off the best line of the debate.
This is a lot like Law and Order, Senator. It has a huge cast. The series seems to go on forever, and Fred Thompson shows up at the end.
Speaking of the economy, the stock market was encouraged today when the Fed released the minutes of last month's open market committee meeting when it cut interest rates by 0.5%. The minutes show the decision was unanimous and hint there might be more cuts to come. The Dow jumped 120 points to a record close, 14,164. The Nasdaq gained 16 points to finish above 2,800. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
Hi, sir.
Hello.
Welcome to Staples.
Ahoy there, matey. I'm setting sail today, and I be needing some business cards right quick.
We can do that right here. You'll even get 100 free. But you're a pirate.
Aye, but I'm a pretty darn good web developer to boot.
Well, looking professional is important.
Can I get me logo on them?
Of course. Let me guess. Skull and crossbones?
Stop by any Staples and get 100 business cards free when you order 100 or more. We print them right in the store while you wait.
Yar, 100 free business cards. Tis a sweet deal.
Staples. That was easy.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, there's freedom of religion and freedom from religion. Not everybody gets that, unfortunately. And that would be me, right over there in the corner, you know.
I set it up. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. Like losing my religion. Trying to keep up you. And I don't know if I can.
On this program, we have frequently talked about the creeping use of religion in the military and the way it is imposed on some of our soldiers. Mikey Weinstein has been on this program many times. He's the author of the book, With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. He's also the president and founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Their website is militaryreligiousfreedom.org. Mikey, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter B. It's great to be back again.
Nice to talk with you. And joining us this half hour, and then he'll stay on and we'll shift gears and talk about some other subjects in the second half hour, is Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org, who has been, might I say, technically all over this story. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate your work on this, and you, I think, have helped Mikey in terms of investigating some of the issues that have arisen, and I know that he has been helpful to you in focusing and framing these issues of military intolerance and the kind of evangelizing or proselytizing that has been occurring and that is, frankly, repugnant to...
As I told you in previous conversations that we had, and I'm sure Mikey can talk about this as well, this is a, you know, this is a constitutional issue. This is, you know, and aside from the fact that there is a war going on, an occupation going on, in which, in the words of General William Boykin, it's about, you know, one God versus another God, there are real constitutional issues here, and it appears that you know, the Constitution is being trampled upon when these things go on inside the military, and I'm just amazed that it's not getting as much attention as it should be getting, and I think that really shows that, you know,
well, come on, it's a Christian nation.
Well, you know, I was going to say that this and issues like abortion and gay marriage are, you know, just some of the things that people don't really want to talk about.
Now, Mikey, I just overheard you talking with Brian, our assistant producer here, and do you want to share this incident that has occurred?
Yeah, I don't mind this. I mean, we've had, you know, the people that we're fighting are basically cowards, and they won't take us on the issues, as Jason correctly stated. And thank God we have somebody like you know, literally Jason out there, because in the mainstream or lamestream media, there appears to be very few people. I mean, Dan Rather clearly gets it. We just did a big interview with him. But
yeah, and it's up on your website for people like me who don't get HDNet.
Right. It's at www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. You know, we've had a series of, for the last 32 months or so, my family has received a lot of threats. We've had incidences at the house where we've had the largest window in our house blown out twice. The last time, a couple of weeks ago, we've had beer bottles and feces thrown at the house. We've had tires slashed. And just a couple of hours ago, we just realized we had the front door. Somebody cut open the front door, the screen door, trying to unlock the door. We had to call the cops again. And, you know, we have a private security firm made up of former Marine Special Forces folks there who are terrific. So they're coming out, and you know, there's very little that the cops can do, and so we deal with it. As Jason correctly stated, this is not a religion versus religion issue, like Christian versus Jewish. It's a fundamentalist Christian versus the Constitution issue. We have a basically a Homer Simpson America that has been asleep at the switch for many decades. And a Homer Simpson, you know, lamestream media, as you say, so correctly stated, a corporate media, they're very much, you know, feeding, this sense of passivity and this concept of almost like something out of some warped version of 1984 or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. It's amazing that's happened in this country, but what's imagine how much we've changed just from 10, 15, 30, 20 years ago, Peter B.
Yeah. But, Mikey, it is so deplorable that self-righteous individuals who believe that their faith is superior to someone else's would engage in vandalism in the name of Jesus.
We get calls from the troops here. We've had nearly 6,000 members of the U.S. military, Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen, that have come to our Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And again, for those that are listening to the show, I urge you to go to www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. They've come to us not as claimants, but as tormentees. And as I've said to you on your show before, Peter B., what's astonishing is how the numbers stay fairly constant. Roughly 96% of those coming to us as tormentees are Christian themselves. Roughly three-fourths are traditional Protestants, one-fourth a Roman Catholic. We'll get 4 to 4.5% that'll be the normal minority faith, you know, the Jewish faith, Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, you know, Shinto, Wiccan, atheist or agnostic. But in the main, it's fundamentalist Christians that are preying on, P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y, on non-fundamentalist Christians, telling them, you know, you may have thought you're Christian enough, but you're not, and as a result, you'll burn eternally in the fires of hell, along with the Jews. And essentially what they're doing, they're telling our soldiers that they lack character, and, you know, telling someone that they lack character or integrity because of their religious faith is like telling someone they're stupid because of the color of their skin.
Yeah. Now, Mikey, you're the lawyer here. You served as an attorney in the Reagan administration. You were a judge advocate general in the Air Force. Give us the constitutional issue here and the basis for a recent lawsuit that you filed against the Pentagon.
We have filed in the Federal District Court of Kansas City, Peter B., a Bivens action, which means a constitutional common law action against the Secretary of Defense and against a Major Freddie J. Wellborn, who's the particular Army officer who is terrorizing our co-plaintiffs, a 23-year-old brave, courageous Army fighter in Iraq at Combat Operations Base Spiker. We filed on Constitution.
That's Jeremy Hall, by the way.
Jeremy Hall, right. Mm-hmm. We filed on Constitution Day, which was actually Monday, September 17th. And we are alleging violations of the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Due process, of course, under the Fifth Amendment, and a little-known fact, a little-known part of the body of the Constitution, Clause 3, Article 6, where our founding fathers and constitutional framers were so careful and assiduously worked to ensure separation of church and state that they actually put in the Constitution that we will never have a religion test for any position in our federal government. Of course, you know, I don't think they envisioned the U.S. Air Force a couple of years ago on the front page of the New York Times announcing a brand new policy that the Air Force would now reserve its right to evangelize anyone that it determined to be unchurched. I can barely say it without cracking up, except it's not funny, it's tragic, and this represents a national security threat to our country every bit as much in magnitude internally as that which is now presented externally by a resurgent Taliban and an al-Qaeda that our most recent national intelligence estimate, Peter B., tells us is at least as strong as it was on 9/11.
Well, Mikey, as you're saying that, I cringe with the memory of Senator Strom Thurmond, the late Senator Thurmond, who was arguing against permitting gays to serve openly in the military. And the euphemism he used was unit cohesion. We got to have unit cohesion. And if you got homosexuals in there, we won't have unit cohesion. And it seems that they are trying to impose Christianity on people in the name of this sense of unit cohesion.
You know, I thought that you had to be in the military. I thought you had to shoot straight, but you didn't have to be straight. I can tell you that, and Jason knows this from prior interviews that we've done, there are four particular stenches that are attendant to these fundamentalist Christians, which we're fighting a group that comprises about only 12.6% of the American public, but it's still 38 million people. And these people have four particular stenches, malodorous stenches, that are attendant to their philosophy, this weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ, this far right fundamentalist fringe of Christianity. The first, of course, is virulent homophobia. The second is virulent misogyny, the belief, you know, that women should be consigned to preparing food, getting pregnant, and raising children.
Mm-hmm.
The third is virulent anti-Semitism and anti-Islamicism. And the last is this great desire, huge desire, to subordinate what they view as flawed man's law in the Constitution to this, you know, to this pristine weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the homophobia goes hand, you know, you've seen what General Peter Pace said. He just said it a couple of weeks ago again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he can't help himself. Now, Jason Leopold, you posted an article at Truth Out on Monday, October 8, entitled Report, Pentagon Facilitating Christian Evangelism, and you cite an inspector general at the Pentagon, a 47-page report. Give us a couple of bullet points from that.
Well, the inspector general report is actually, you know, a credit to a complaint that Mikey's foundation, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, filed last year, I believe, when the high-level Pentagon official in the Army and I believe the Air Force took part in this Christian Embassy video, Christian Embassy being a subsidiary, if you will, of the Campus Crusade for Christ, and it more or less amounted to a promotional video. And these officials were in uniform and on active duty. And as we know, at least from what we see in regards to some of the troops that come back from Iraq and participate in anti-war protests while in uniform, and how the Pentagon or how some military commanders go after them and, you know, seek to get them to be court-martialed. This is exactly, in essence, what you know, what some of these folks were doing when they participated in a video in uniform, speaking about you know, the Christian Embassy and how you know, Jesus Christ is shining the light for them.
And you report that a former Pentagon chaplain misled, in the name of Jesus, I guess, misled his superiors about why he was shooting a video on the Pentagon base.
Well, that's what's really fascinating, is that it more or less said that he outright lied. I think what's even more explosive, however, is when some of these some of the high-level officials actually said, "Well, Christian Embassy has been so entrenched in the Pentagon and in Washington and involved with various lawmakers that it more or less has become a quasi federal agency.
Holy cow. And now, Jason, I just have to correct one thing. If you call the chaplain a liar, that's going to get us in deep doo-doo. That's heavenly deception.
Heavenly deception. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take...
I'm going to hell as it is. So.
We're going to take a break and return. That's Jason Leopold from truthout.org, along with Mikey Weinstein. His website is militaryreligiousfreedom.org. We've got a caller on the line. We'll get to you right after the break. You can join us, too. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday Afternoon Traffic. Let's tell you what's happening in the Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel area. Well, let's cruise right on over to Salinas, southbound 101 before Main Street. Watch out for a ladder in the left lane. And in Gilroy, Fraser Lake Road at Bloomfield. Apparently, we have cows. That's right, cows walking in the lanes. And guess what? Animal Control, thank goodness for them, they're on the way to the scene. Try to gather up those cows. Gonzales, northbound 101 before Fifth Street. It's a jack. I don't know what kind of jack, but it's a jack in the right lane. I could go on with that, but I won't. Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp closed till the summer of 2008. Looking at Highway 17, no major stalls or accidents there. And northbound traffic between Monterey and Carmel looking good. Southbound, no problems report. This report is brought to you by Purell Hand Sanitizer.
Ride up there with that message.
Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Well, Kirk Franklin, I wouldn't blame gospel music, but some purveyors of the gospel have gone too far, trying to impose their religious values and views on others in the U.S. military. Mikey Weinstein is fighting back at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Again, their website, militaryreligiousfreedom.org. And Jason Leopold stays with us from truthout.org. We're joined by Kevin in Chico. Go ahead with your question, Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Can you hear me? Kevin, are you there? Well, I guess we lost Kevin. What he said was he wanted to know what happened to the officers of uniform who were at the Christian embassy. And I don't know if I have enough information there, but Mikey, you want to take a stab at that?
Sure. Yeah, the report that came down from the Department of Defense Inspector General was I describe it as being fairly ludicrous itself, and I don't mean the rap star or movie star.
Mm-hmm.
The report was 47 pages long, as Jason mentioned, and it was generated because we held a press conference, our foundation did, on Monday, December 11th last year at the National Press Club in Washington, and we broke the story about this video, and we demanded that then brand new Defense Secretary Gates jump into this immediately. And the report immediately, at the top of it, exempted itself from DOD Directive 1300.17, which is entitled accommodation of religious practices within the military services. In other words, it was trying to say that there's nothing going on here constitutionally. It's just when you can or cannot wear the uniform. Like when can you not wear the Halloween costume? The report then recommended, quote, corrective action be taken against these generals and political appointees such as they were. It didn't specify what that is. I talked to reporters every day, many of them, and they've asked the Pentagon over and over again, well, has anything happened? The Pentagon won't respond. I believe that the most severe action that these people will be forced to take is that they'll be presented with chocolate and strawberry cupcakes after they've already eaten a very full meal and be told to eat, several of these cupcakes to make them even feel, more stuffed up.
Mm-hmm. Mikey, do you know who Jay Sekulow is?
Yes, I debated him at the Air Force Academy on April 24th this year. He's Pat Robertson's lawyer.
He's a
self-described completed Jew, because he was born and raised Jewish, became an evangelical Christian, or maybe it was just a good gig for him.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, I've been on his radio show, the Air Force Academy. I speak at colleges all over the country. My own school has never invited me back except to debate the head of the American Center for Law and Justice, which is so close to the name ACLU. It's amazing.
Right. It's a front group, and I get emails from Jay on a regular basis. Today, I'm asking you to add your voice, Jay says, to tens of thousands of concerned ACLJ members in support of our chaplains by signing our petition to protect military prayer to President Bush right now. We are going straight to the White House to win this battle once and for all. We call on the president to act, to stop the censoring of our chaplains, to set free the conscience of every chaplain serving in our military and allow unfettered ministry to our men and women in uniform. What does this really mean?
Well, it's garbage. What it is, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's trying to say that, the true beauty of America are three words, tolerance for diversity. People like Jay Sekulow torture and rape and bludgeon that concept, and it's woven into the very fabric of Americana, tolerance for diversity. I mean, pluribus unum, out of many comes one. And they try to argue intolerance for those of us in the majority. This is a long fight that we focused on, is that when a member of the United States military is forced to be in a mandatory military formation, whether it's a battle staff meeting or a retirement ceremony or a parade or whatever, if a chaplain is going to pray, they cannot pray in the name of Jesus Christ at a mandatory military formation.
Mm-hmm.
It must be secular. The Navy actually has a regulation specifically on point here saying that's the way it must be. What you're hearing from Jay Sekulow is the famous axe-murdering son concept, which is after a person has been, a young man, say, has been found guilty of axe-murdering his parents. In the sentencing hearing, Peter B., he throws himself upon the mercy of the court, saying, after all, Your Honor, I am now an orphan.
That's very well put. Jason, do you want to add anything here?
I think Mike said it best. And I just want to add on to what you touched on before regarding the officials who appeared in the Christian Embassy video. Certainly it does say in the report that some form of punishment, if that's how you want to characterize it,
mm-hmm.
Should be recommended. Nothing has happened so far. I know that I have called
to check on it regularly, because I certainly would love to put out a story that says, in fact...
Jason, we'll talk with you a little more after the break. Let you finish up there. Mikey Weinstein, thank you for what you're doing. Don't stop, and don't let anybody intimidate you.
I won't, my man. Thank you so much again. It's always a pleasure to be on this wonderful show. It's a breath of fresh air. And Jason, don't you stop doing your investigative reporting. We need that out there.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mikey.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Will the last coalition soldier to leave Iraq please remind us why we're not? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
We plan from next spring to reduce force numbers in southern Iraq to a figure of 2,500.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown announcing another British troop withdrawal. Brown's government is now looking to tackle things like raising the British death tax, building more child care centers, and ending childhood poverty by 2010. He appears to think that even crazy liberal ideas like those are easier to justify than spreading democracy in Iraq. And you may be wondering, how can the British get away with this? The British say it's because the Iraqi army is finally able to take over in the south. Our side says it's because the fighting still going on in the British sector is the type of fighting that can be solved politically. However, there are hints that the real reason the British are leaving is, and I hope your airbags are switched on, that the real reason is because the voters want them to. You see, something strange is going on in Britain. In Britain, voters still have power. In Britain, leaders actually listen to dissenters. Here in the U.S., we know better. We know that our dissenters know nothing about military strategy and that we could win if they just shut up, which is why our Iraq debates lately have primarily involved a stage full of candidates, all of whom are powerless. In fact, there's another such debate today, in case you missed the last 20. This time, it's the Republicans starring Fred Thompson. At least it'll be entertaining. Okay, well, at least there won't be any cleavage. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamond. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
On October 20th and 21st at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, the Monterey Music Summit, an environmentally and politically progressive interactive arts festival featuring Spearhead. Michael Parente and Spearhead, The Roots, G-Love and Special Sauce, Cake, Ozo Motley, Randy Carlyle, and more. Over 25 performances on three stages, offering everything from regional favorites to international icons of pop, rock, folk, and world music. Tickets are on sale now at MontereyMusicSummit.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Concern about the steady...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered. Except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We are live in Sacramento again today and for the vacation in Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And I want to thank Mikey Weinstein for joining us and the work that he's doing to protect the unchurched from the persecution of those who believe that their faith is superior. And Jason Leopold from truthout.org is continuing with us. We're going to change to another subject here in just a moment. But before we do, we are joined by Tina from Salinas. Tina, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. About 3 weeks ago, I heard an interview. Somebody wrote a book about the history of the neocons. And he said he didn't have this in his book, but he said the idea of the neocons wasn't started by Christians but by Jewish guys. Until I heard you guys talking a while ago, I just, you know, it was just something I had in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that the neoconservative cabal is really based on religious affiliation or affinity. But it is true that
people grabbing power.
Well, that Potteritz and some of the others happen to be of the Jewish persuasion and are generally very strong supporters of Israel.
Well, he just said it was a group of Jews, and they decided to use Christianity instead of Judaism, so it wouldn't be attached to their religion. And I just thought that was terribly interesting, and I just wondered if this guy Jay had anything to do with that.
Well, Jason, you want to try to field this? Mikey isn't with us still,
sure.
But Jason might know.
I can tell you that having reported extensively on the neoconservative and the movement since it really came into the mainstream, I guess you could say, since Bush came into office, is that Irving Kristol was the who is the father of William Kristol, the editor of the National Review.
No, the Weekly Standard, the
Murdoch-funded
Weekly Standard.
Weekly Standard, excuse me. Thank you. And he's the father of that movement, but it really does, their whole concept has to do with remaking the Middle East, this hegemony that does more or less benefit Israel. And however, there is absolutely, zero religious fervor involved in that,
totally.
As far as we can tell. It's more about this, this idea of, turning the Middle East into a sort of have control over the Middle East.
Well, and Tina, one thing that we've seen in recent years is that the nation of Israel has courted evangelicals in this country for two reasons, for political support and for tourism, because a lot of evangelicals who embrace the Old Testament like to tour the Holy Land, and that, of course, is a source of cash revenue for the nation of Israel.
Well, several years ago, I wrote Clinton when he was dealing with Arafat and whoever was head of Israel, that they had a gold mine that was worth more than oil, just in the Holy Land, and if they all three got together and just made something like Rome, the Vatican over there, I mean, everybody could make out like bandits.
Well, they're trying to do that at there's a Bible theme park, I think, in Louisville, Kentucky, where some porn star works.
No, I'm talking about the real Holy Land.
I know you are.
You know where the mosques are and the temple and the Jews and the Christians and the everybody wants to go over there, three top religions. I mean, why fight? Why can't they just settle down and make money from the rest of the world?
Oh, what if we could? Thank you, Tina. I appreciate your call today. Jason, before we move on, I want to talk about the NSA and the legislation that's pending in Washington right now.
Right.
But did you have anything final? I had to go to the break there, and I didn't want to cut you off. But
but I think it's, I just think it's important that it's very different between the whole neoconservative movement versus the fundamentalist issues that are going on.
Yeah. And isn't Mikey amazing? I mean, that guy talks about 90 miles an hour. Must be a challenge when you're interviewing him to
really
actually try to write it all down.
It is. And, I often say, hold on, slow down. What'd you say? But in terms of what's happening with the NSA, the the surveillance bill, putting FISA back into the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, into having them having that court regain its oversight. You know, I think right now we should all be skeptical of what the Democrats are truly going to do. I think that they have demonstrated, at least this year, that what they say publicly does not necessarily match what they will do politically when it comes to, you know, passing legislation.
Well, I'd ratchet it up a little more. I am alarmed. I'm alarmed that while I was away on vacation in August, they passed this Protect America Act, which does expire in February. But, you know, once you grant these things, they're very difficult to roll back in a meaningful way. And the Democrats are confronting that right now, where the Bush administration wants a bill right away. And
correct,
the Democrats don't need to do that, but it appears that they are responding to the pressure. And so there is a, this is the front page of today's New York Times. A Democratic bill to be proposed on Tuesday in the House would maintain for several years the type of broad blanket authority for NSA eavesdropping that the administration secured in August for 6 months, and let me point out that it conducted illegally for 3 to 4 years prior to that.
Right.
And this is where my blood just boils, Jason, because they are there giving away our constitutional rights, our personal privacy and security, for phony threats that are used strategically by the Bush administration to jam them into a corner, often as they're about to leave for a break or ready to go to the midterm elections, that sort of thing.
Right.
And I am so tired of the Democrats caving in.
Yeah.
These are critical issues. This is not, you know, throwing an extra, you know, $500,000 here or, you know, greasing somebody with an ambassadorship. This is one of the most critical constitutional issues of our day, and the Democrats are selling us out.
Yeah, and you know, I am even appalled at the rhetoric, at the fact that they believe or that they think that people are going to buy, and perhaps they are. The fact that you know, there were threats that were made, attacks or warnings that came through while they were considering this legislation. The FISA court, first of all, the administration, if there was a true threat, can go out, spy, tap telephones, and get a warrant retroactively.
This is the easiest.
That's what the FISA court allows them to do.
It's the easiest surveillance law ever concocted.
You know,
but they want to be able to conduct broad wiretaps,
exactly,
broad surveillance, intercept emails, data mine phone bills, and they want to do it without any oversight or you know, any responsibility to either the courts or the legislature. They want unfettered executive power, and that is the most dangerous thing we can ever embark on.
And the Democrats truly, truly failed and suffered a major backlash when they approved that. And so what they're saying now is, you know, certainly appears to be, okay, they want to retool the legislation. But they still are going to give this administration, and ultimately, we don't know what the final bill will look like. We don't know what the what amendments will be put in, and what concessions will be made, because it's still early. But I have to say that I don't have faith in what, you know, what they intend to do.
Well, and Jason, one of the indicators to me, you know, I follow the news pretty carefully.
Right.
And we are reading, I've got the New York Times, this
right,
front page article in front of me, and it says that this legislation is going to be introduced in the House, but it doesn't name who the author is.
Right.
It doesn't give us any information about who wrote the bill, where it's coming from, and to what extent they have colluded with insiders in the Bush administration to undermine our privacy rights.
Exactly.
And on the Senate side, all we have is Jay Rockefeller and Kit Bond. Jay Rockefeller Rockefeller just caved last week on the whole issue of phase two of the pre-Iraq intelligence investigation,
right,
about Senate Intelligence Committee investigation that was politicized and sidetracked by Pat Roberts when he was chair of that committee under the bidding of the White House. And, you know, finally it appeared that the Democrats were gaining some leverage with the Gonzales problems and the Rove investigations, and they've just traded away the leverage they had and said, we're not going to pursue that anymore. And Jay Rockefeller last week conceded that we're never going to see the full phase two intelligence report on cooked intelligence that led us into Iraq.
Right, and these are, you know, those are that's an issue that I recall Carl Levin and Rockefeller both being passionate about when the Democrats regained control of Congress. And I recall being on a conference call in which they both said that they will absolutely, you know, finally get to finish this investigation, and they're going to continue to have hearings. And I think one of the things that is incredibly frustrating, particularly about this Congress, is that, you know, they jump on an issue and then move away from it, almost the way that the media operates. I mean, prior to the August recess, we were all over the U.S. attorney, the U.S. attorney firing. There were hearings. Congress leaves. Karl Rove resigns. Gonzales resigns. They subpoena and hold in contempt Myers and Rove. That's what there's. It doesn't appear that anything is happening. They continuously, you know, give in to this administration. Continuously, you know, drop the ball. At least that's what they've demonstrated so far. And then we hear Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, the speaker over the weekend saying, in frustration, we can't end the war unless Bush gives us authority to do so. I mean, basically saying we can't do anything. And that's not what I want to hear, and it certainly doesn't give me any confidence, and I don't think it would give anyone in the public confidence that Congress is going to do its job, certainly when it comes to FISA, certainly when it comes to, you know, holding the administration accountable. And I think that they've, you know, people should really be skeptical. We, you know, I imagine that the final bill with all the amendments that are going to be put in there is really going to, you know, allow this administration to operate without as much oversight as they should have. That they, you know, if you think about it, there really needs to be more oversight. I mean, they need to be sent to detention, you know. And I'm using that in terms of a sort of a schoolyard,
right,
issue. But they have, you know, we just seen the latest torture memos that the New York Times discussed. And yet, again, we're talking about, you know, removing oversight. If anything, there should be more oversight.
Yeah,
there should
you're right.
be zero confession.
Well, let me quote a little bit from this Times article. The bill to be proposed on Tuesday by the Democratic leadership of the House Intelligence and Judiciary Committees, again, no congressperson is named, would impose more controls over the powers of security agency. There's a bad copy here, including quarterly audits by the Justice Department Inspector General. The measure would also give the Foreign Intelligence Court a role in approving in advance basket or umbrella warrants for bundles of overseas communications. Now, here's a quote from Brendan Daly, spokesperson for Speaker Pelosi. He said, "We're giving the NSA what it legitimately needs for national security, but with far more limitations and protections than are in the Protect America Act." Well, that's an implicit acknowledgement of how badly they sold us out in August,
right,
and they're scrambling to fix it.
Right.
The article goes on, "Perhaps most important in the eyes of Democratic supporters, the House bill would not give retroactive immunity to the telecommunications utilities that participated in the eavesdropping." Now, that's a minor step. I want to make sure that they don't have amnesty in there for George Bush, Dick Cheney, Alberto Gonzalez, and the other goons who approve this illegal activity.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, one thing that the administration has been lobbying for is removing any culpability or basically protecting the telecoms from getting sued. That should absolutely not be, you know, placed in any legislation. There should be, you know, no protection of, you know, of any, you know, Fortune 500 company. And I think that, you know, there's, it's interesting. There has been a bit of a, you know, people speaking out against this New York Times story, calling it spin. And I think that people are still unaware that this is what Congress did. You know, they left in August and passed a bill that basically handed, you know, the Bush administration everything they wanted.
We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you're outraged like I am, give us a call toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Yippee-ki-yay, it's time for traffic once again, so let's get to it. And we've got a little bit of activity working. Let's see, CHP telling us about a problem in Gilroy-Fraser Lake Road at Bloomfield Avenue. We still have reports of, yes, cows walking in the lanes there, but Animal Control's on scene. They're trying to round them up as we are speaking. It looks like they actually have everything under control, which is good news. You don't want cows walking in the roadway, do we now? No. San Juan Bautista, Highway 129 eastbound, the southbound ramp to 101. A vehicle is on fire. It's a delivery truck smoking heavily, so fire department crew is on the way to the scene there to get that under control. Other than that, no problems on Highway 17 either direction, which is always good news. If you are traveling on, let's see, how about eastbound 25, well, some slow and go from Gilroy to Hollister.
Mama W wants to tap my phone calls, intercept my emails, and I'm not very happy about it. 8 minutes in front of the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. Can you name that tune, Jason?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that I can't.
It's Mama by Genesis.
Ah.
And I'm going to see him tonight.
They're, yeah, a little reunion.
They're on a...
without Peter Gabriel.
Right. But it should be fun. I'm going to go see him in San Jose, so I'll have a review for our listeners tomorrow.
Excellent.
Now, Jason, back to the NSA debate here. What I find really troubling is you shared with us over the past 2 weeks the efforts of John Eisenberg, an attorney in Oakland, who is battling to protect our rights by trying to prove that he has standing, his clients have standing, to sue the government over the illegal wiretapping and eavesdropping programs of the Bush administration.
Right.
And just as he appears to be getting a toehold there and may be able to bust through the catch-22 of the state secret privilege asserted by the Bush administration, the Democrats are undermining that effort and threatening to immunize the phone companies for their past actions, and also immunize political officials who made these decisions.
Yeah, and you know, and John Eisenberg was actually saying that if in fact that happens, and the lawsuit, which his lawsuit is combined with the lawsuit against the telecoms, if that part gets dismissed, he doesn't have any. You know, he fears that his part will go out the window as well. You know, and the other thing is that he has tried, you know, again, he may be, his clients may be the only people in the country that actually have proof that they were that they were spied upon by this administration without a warrant, simply because they have they received that top secret document. He has tried to get in touch with various members of Democrats as well in the House and the Senate. But nobody would speak with him. They wouldn't really return his phone call. So again, once you start to get into the, you know, the behind the scenes activities and really look at the background, I don't have much. I personally don't have much faith that that Congress, certainly the Democrats, will go beyond lip service. At least look, they've demonstrated that when it came to the Iraq War Supplemental, when they just handed the administration a blank check. They did it in August before they left with this. We see Dianne Feinstein, as well as other members, other Democrats, you know, voting for various pieces of legislation, and voting for pieces of legislation like, you know, condemning MoveOn.org.
Yeah.
It really seems like things are backwards right now, and I think lip service. You know, I think right now they're only providing us with lip service.
Well, and we have to look at the political angle here. The Democrats are unfortunately focused on trying to win politically in 2008, retain, expand majorities on the Hill, hopefully win the White House. And they think that if they don't create a target for the Bush administration to attack on this issue, that they'll prevail. And Caroline Frederickson, who is with the ACLU in Washington, is quoted in this New York Times article. And after she says she's troubled by the Democrats' acceptance of broad blanket warrants, listen to this diplomatic comment. The Democratic leadership, philosophically, is with us. But we need to help them realize the political case, which is that Democrats will not be in danger if they don't reauthorize this Protect America Act.
Right.
They're nervous. There's a keep the majority mentality, she said. But we think they're putting themselves in more danger by not standing on principle. And if you read between the lines there and amplify that remark, what she's saying is the Democrats are playing politics with this significant constitutional issue.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, what's apparent is that there's going to the Democrats will you'll have the out of Iraq caucus, the more of the progressive caucus breaking off with, you know, with their colleagues. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a major issue come next year. Again, they're so scattered. There's no unified front, which has always been something that has dogged the Democrats. That you know, the internal issues between the Blue Dogs, between you know the Progressive Caucus, and then you have Nancy Pelosi trying to preside over everyone, is I think the bigger issue. Than you know, worrying about how the Republicans are going to react.
Well, and some of those Blue Dogs need to be taken to the shed and locked up.
Yeah. and again, you know, they have to convince. I don't see the Blue Dogs. You know those conservative Democrats actually voting with their colleagues.
Well, your colleague Matt Renner pointed out in an article about a month ago at Truthout that more than half of the freshman Democrats who helped, retake the House immediately joined the Blue Dog Caucus.
Right.
And have voted conservatively on far too many occasions.
Right. And that's what people really need to, keep their attention focused on, is how the Democrats are going to vote.
Well, Jason, thanks for joining me today for a full hour. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Just shows the breadth of stories that you cover.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, thank you very much.
Take care.
Coming up next, Melanie Sloan will kick off the Free Speech Zone. She's from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Larry Craig. Who else is on our list here? Well, it's Larry Craig, a White House leak. Oh, and Brent Wilkes, the guy who bribed Duke Cunningham. That's what we'll talk about, and then we'll take your calls for the rest of the hour. Grab a line, and we'll chat. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The long legal battle over acid rain climaxed today when the nation's second largest power company agreed to a $4.6 billion settlement. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has the story.
This is truly an historic day for clean air in the United States.
According to the settlement, the government says American Electric Power will cut hundreds of thousands of tons of emissions from 16 coal-burning plants in five states. Eight states downwind of those plants joined the suit, saying they bore the brunt of AEP's emissions, including almost 850,000 tons of sulfur dioxide a year, a major contributor to acid rain, blamed on killing trees and wiping out wildlife from New England all the way to the Chesapeake Bay.
Part of the settlement will be used to mitigate pollution damage in the Chesapeake and other waterways, along with Shenandoah National Park. The North has just about turned off the air conditioners, and pretty soon the furnaces will be cranking up, and it won't be pretty.
We're looking at heating oil up about 22% and natural gas about 10%.
Guy Caruso of the government's Energy Information Administration says higher prices alone will raise heating bills, plus forecasters say winter won't be as mild as last year. Now there are nine. The addition of former Senator Fred Thompson to the race for the Republican presidential nomination broadened the field for the latest debate held this afternoon in Dearborn, Michigan. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has details.
Just before the end of the 2 hours, a CNBC moderator asked Fred Thompson, does he feel he started his campaign too late? He said no.
I've enjoyed watching these fellas. I got to admit, it was getting a little boring without me. But
Thompson was the tallest of the nine candidates on stage. The others did not attack him except one. Mitt Romney said the debates have become like TV's Law and Order, with a huge cast and Fred Thompson coming in at the end. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Former pizza delivery man Michael Devlin entered guilty pleas in Missouri's Franklin and St. Louis counties today. He admits abducting and sexually assaulting then 11-year-old Sean Hornbeck. Yesterday, he pleaded guilty to the same charges in the case of a younger boy, Ben Ownby. Scott Sherman is the Hornbeck family's attorney.
Today, for justice to be served for Sean, yesterday for Ben, this is a 5-year ordeal that they have been dreaming about to come to an end.
Heart attack survivors, new research says you've got to go easy on stress. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
After recovering from a heart attack, it's common for people to resume their lives and go back to work. But a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association sends a caution to survivors who think they can handle high-stress jobs again. Compared to workers in calmer jobs, they have about twice the risk of experiencing another serious coronary problem. The authors say doctors should keep this in mind when easing patients back into life after heart attacks.
A new high close for the Dow, 14,164. This is CBS News.
If you could change the world, what would you do? How would you use your power? What human needs would you remedy? And while you may wonder about your ability to change the world, you certainly can change your world. The people of Citgo demonstrate this every day. For example, we've contributed over $82 million to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And we give in other ways to our local communities all across this country, which actually does change the world. Citgo, there at every turn.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do, like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates and, in most cases, other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some days Congress deals with weighty issues, matters of history. This was not one of those days, but Green Bay Packer fans are not likely to object. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story.
Squeezed between commending the new Little League champs and naming a post office, the House paid homage to Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre, who just set the record for most NFL touchdown passes and is a favorite of Wisconsin Democrat Steve Kagan.
I asked my colleagues to join with me in recognizing the accomplishments of the Green Bay Packers, the hardworking people of Green Bay, and the people of Wisconsin, and our future Hall of Fame quarterback, Brett Favre.
Football is still bipartisan, and Congress approved the resolution on a voice vote. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
When they got married 5 years ago, Bishop Thomas Weeks and televangelist Juanita Bynum wrote a book on marriage and relationships. But they separated this year, and Bynum recently accused Weeks of beating her up. Now he's selling the book at a deep discount. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Sweet, I've been waiting for lunch all day.
Me too. Natalie, I'll trade my apple for your potato chips.
I don't know, Matthew, my potato chips for your cookie.
Let's see. Billy, what's that?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine?
An apple and my gummy bears for the Ovaltine?
No way.
Potato chips and grape juice for the rich chocolate Ovaltine?
No way.
Two cookies, bubblegum, and my Hershey's chocolate milk?
Double no way.
Aww. More Ovaltine, please.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. Taking your calls on any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We can talk. The lines are open for you this hour. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And you can also email me, peter at peterbcollins.com. And after a couple of weeks off, Melanie Sloan returns to our program. She's Executive Director of CRU, and that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And she didn't request this, but I couldn't resist. Congratulations, Melanie.
Thank you very much.
I understand you got married.
I did, and then I went to Italy on my honeymoon.
Oh, great. Where in Italy?
We went to Venice and Tuscany and Bologna.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was there in late July and August and really enjoyed it. Everything except the weak dollar.
Oh, and it's only gotten worse.
Yes, it has.
But isn't the pasta incredible?
Oh, it is. And the wine. I'm a wine consumer, and the grapes, particularly in Tuscany and Umbria, are just fabulous.
Yes, they are.
And just one prying personal question. Did you investigate this guy first?
He works in intelligence.
Oh. All right. Enough said, enough asked. Well, I'd like to first go to San Diego, where Brent Wilkes is on trial. And he's in a real pickle because Duke Cunningham already pled guilty to being bribed by Brent Wilkes. And so he must have a real uphill battle defense-wise on his hands.
He does, but he has one of the best defense lawyers in the country who he is surely paying top dollar for, and he has that money thanks to all the contracts he was awarded by Duke Cunningham and other members of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But Brent Wilkes is now on trial on a large number of charges, including bribing Duke Cunningham, who is expected to testify at this trial. So it promises to be really interesting. Several other members of Congress were subpoenaed, and 12 in all. The House counsel moved to quash their subpoenas, saying that they shouldn't have to testify because their testimony might violate the speech or debate clause of the Constitution, something we've talked about before in terms of the search of William Jefferson's office,
right.
And it means that they can't be forced to provide legislative material. But Mark Garagos has said that that's not what he's looking for. Some of these members of Congress, and they're all California members, really. It's Jerry Lewis,
mm-hmm.
John Doolittle, Duncan Hunter, and Daryl Issa, as well as former Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, who's from Illinois. And he says some of those people were on airplanes with Duke Cunningham and Brent Wilkes, and will have evidence that has nothing to do with legislative material. And if Brent Wilkes can indeed show that at a hearing, those members may well be compelled to testify.
Mm-hmm. And so far, Jerry Lewis has not surrendered his post on the Appropriations Committee, which may have been the scene of the crime in more than one case.
Oh, yeah. And Jerry Lewis is under investigation as well by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. The Brent Wilkes case is being handled out of San Diego. But you can be sure that federal prosecutors in Los Angeles are watching with great care the Brent Wilkes case, as are prosecutors no doubt around the country, because there are so many members of Congress currently under federal investigation.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't Garagos initially subpoena, or at least threaten to subpoena, a number of sitting members?
Oh, yeah, there were 12 of them. And then they filed a motion to quash. And some of them, it was really hard to understand exactly what relationship Brent Wilkes might have had with them, because they, for example, they weren't on the defense, either defense appropriations or on the Armed Services Committee. But these members, these California members, like Doolittle, Hunter, Issa, and Lewis, are known to have had lots of relationships with Duke Cunningham. Some of them were at poker games organized by Brent Wilkes at the Watergate, and they all had relationships with Brent Wilkes. And the issue for the judge was that unless Brent Wilkes could show that these members had specific information that would be helpful to the defense, he would quash their subpoenas. But I think it's really quite possible that they do have that kind of information that would be helpful to the defense, and he has a constitutional right to call whatever witnesses he wants, and the defense and the judge would refuse to allow him to call any of them at the peril of being having a conviction overturned on appeal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a strong chance we will see some of these members subpoenaed, and that should be very interesting, including, you know, as we know, one of your favorite members of Congress, John Doolittle.
Right, yeah.
And Duncan Hunter, who's running for president.
Well, and he personally built the wall along the border.
That's right.
I heard him announce that on PBS just last week. It was amazing. Now, perhaps you missed this while you were honeymooning, Melanie, but there was an interesting sidebar piece in the New York Times, and I think somebody else did it as well, about the yachts on the Potomac. where we know the Duke Cunningham had a boat that we think was paid for, or at least in part, by Brent Wilkes. A trafficant from Ohio who is now behind bars had a boat there. And Larry Craig apparently spends part of his time living on a boat there along Water Street in the harbor in Washington, D.C. And you just wonder if it wasn't in those cozy floating luxury yachts that some of these deals were struck. Apparently, Duke Cunningham kept his bribery list on his boat.
Yes, I think that there are some real questions there. We haven't heard anything to suggest Larry Craig has been involved in this. You know, he's got his own scandal to deal with. You know, just as an interesting aside, while I was gone, I understand he decided not to retire after all.
Well, yes, because he decided he can be effective, whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
Right.
But I think that the Brent Wilkes trial is going to offer us all a real peek into the way Washington does work. The prosecutor has said this is not the way Washington works, that this is a rare case. I think Brent Wilkes' defense will be that this is exactly how Washington works, and he was just doing what everyone else is doing. And I think the sad truth is that so many people in Washington are operating the way Brent Wilkes was, but the fact is it's illegal, and
yeah.
So all of them should go down.
This just in for Larry Craig.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN, no.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
That's good.
I don't know where it came from, Melanie. Brad Friedman passed it along to me, and whoever is the father of that, please come forward. We will congratulate you. But on a more serious note, Larry Craig is still there, and David Vitter is still there.
Yes, and you know what? This actually is going to pose a really interesting problem for the Senate Ethics Committee, because the Senate Ethics Committee has said they are examining the Larry Craig matter, and the fact of the matter is they're looking at Larry Craig, but they haven't done anything about Pete Domenici, who used his office to try and persuade the New Mexico U.S. attorney to take a criminal action against Democrats who didn't, in fact, deserve it. And we have Senator Ted Stevens, who's been apparently accepting having VECO executives rebuild his house for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not looking at either of those two cases. And so how it is that the Senate Ethics Committee is going to say that it's more serious to commit this misdemeanor crime in a Minnesota bathroom than it is to abuse your office and sell your influence, you know, that's going to be a big problem, and they're looking at a precedent problem. So that's probably one of the reasons they were all hoping he'd resign and save them this conundrum they're in, because this is going to have precedential value, whatever they do to Larry Craig. And yet they're, you know, they just look as ineffective as they are at Senate Ethics when they're not looking at these other folks.
Now, Melanie, we've talked about the ineffective ethics committees in both houses on many occasions in the past. Is there any renewed call for independent ethics oversight of the House and Senate?
Oh, well, there's that constant call, and yet members of Congress manage to turn a deaf ear day in and day out to that. So nothing has really changed.
Going nowhere.
Going nowhere.
All right, one other item that you've been working on this week is front and center, too, at truthout.org. The Washington Post today reported that this private security agency that's run by a woman named, I think it's Rita Katz, I've seen her on TV, and she is an independent purveyor of intelligence. She runs a company called the Site Intelligence Group. And they have gone public blaming the White House for prematurely revealing the most recent Osama bin Laden video, because doing so compromised their sources and methods.
That's right. It turns out that they were able to access the videotape of Osama bin Laden days before Al-Qaeda actually released it, which meant they had a pipeline into Al-Qaeda's network. And they decided to turn it over to the White House. And some people I know have certainly questioned their decision to turn it over to the White House, the policy people, rather than other intelligence sources. But in any event, they said that the White House promised not to release it. They just wanted them to be prepared. And yet, within literally hours after it was given to the White House, or the link was provided to the White House, it was made available to the news media, first, of course, Fox. And it seems quite clear that the White House released that tape. And so the question here is really, why would the White House do that? And this, in turn, according to Ms. Katz, then resulted in her pipeline being shut down. So this access that they had that might have helped the United States government fend off a possible Al-Qaeda attack in the future is now gone. So the White House wanting to look like it was ahead of things on top of this Al-Qaeda situation, on top of the Osama bin Laden situation, despite the fact that he hasn't been caught in all of these years,
right,
released this tape and endangered national security.
Well,
so yet again, they're playing politics with national security.
Well, and it gives them the opportunity to blame the Democrats for playing politics with national security. And, on a bad day, they'll just blame Bill Clinton. I want to thank you, Melanie. Welcome back. Congratulations. Give our best to your new husband, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, trying to drain the swamp. All right, to your phone calls next. It's the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line and let's talk about whatever's on your mind. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-573-8372. Give us a call, and we'll talk in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
All right, let's take a look at traffic and let's see what's going on. We got a little problem working right now. And, well, it is in the San Juan Bautista, 129 eastbound, the ramp to southbound 101. A delivery truck on fire. Fire department crews on scene. Looks like they got everything pretty much under control at this point. Also, San Juan Bautista, southbound 101 after Betabel. It's large chunks of tire tread in the roadway. Taking a look at a Santa Cruz problem, it's Graham Hill Road at Rawlingwood. Rawlingwood Drive. It's a solo vehicle that went into a ditch, CHP, on the way to the scene there. A little reminder, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp remains closed for road work until the summer of 2008. And a quick look at a little bit of slow traffic. Eastbound 25, slow and go out of Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1 is actually looking pretty good between Monterey and Carmel at this point.
Now on the Peter B. Collins Show, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. That's Phil Collins, no relation, and the band Genesis. Now, I'm going to be flying on the Bayshore Freeway to San Jose right after the show tonight and catch them live at a corporate pavilion. And I last saw them in the late 1980s. Gosh, could it be 20 years? That's a little scary. But they're a great band, and I'm glad they're touring again. And I'll have a report for you tomorrow on whether it's a good show or not. We're taking your calls toll-free. It's the Free Speech Zone, and we checked. The First Amendment is still in full effect. But, of course, with the Democrats ready to cave on this new NSA FISA law extension, well, you must assume that your calls will be monitored and not just for quality control. Henry in Auburn, thanks for calling. From KSAC, you're on the PBC show.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I saw Genesis 1977 in Nashville. It was phenomenal.
Oh, good for you. Well, Peter Gabriel would have still been with the band then.
That was, you can't top that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with the book House of Bush, House of Saud?
Yeah, by Craig Unger.
Craig Unger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, that book brings out so many of the issues that explain why there's been so little attention being given to Saudi Arabia, which, by all accounts, from my research, they are surely funding the Sunni insurgency in Iraq.
Oh, you know, you people jump to conclusions just because 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, and just because Saudi Arabia funds the Wahhabists in Pakistan, where they run these madrasa schools that many people believe produce the next generation of Islamic extremists. Yeah.
In that book, it's Baker Botts, the firm of Baker Botts, Secretary of State James Baker.
Right.
He is, his law firm is, no surprise there, defending the Saudis.
Well, they represent the Saudis and the Kuwaitis. It's a wonderful double dip right in the same region.
I think that the whole propaganda machinery is that is focusing on Iraq and Iran is to deflect the real source of the problems, which are in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I think Saudi Arabia and Pakistan are really the true trouble points, and we pretend that our alleged allies, Musharraf in Pakistan, the Saudi royal family in Saudi Arabia, we pretend that they're there for us, they've got our backs, they're helping us fight the phony war on terror. And, in my view, if we have a regime change in Washington, the first fundamental changes have to be in our approach to Pakistan and India and our approach to Saudi Arabia.
Yes. One other thing, you mentioned Kit Bond, which that guy is just a...
Senator from Missouri.
Yeah, I can't. He called Ambassador Joe Wilson a liar, and I just abhor and detest that guy. I don't know how the people of Missouri could ever reelect somebody like that. Joe Wilson, who served his country in a far greater capacity than Kit Bond could ever pretend to do so.
Sure. Well, Kit Bond is cut from the same cloth as John Ashcroft, who had a. I don't know if Ashcroft had that Senate seat or. Danforth was the other senator from Missouri before the Democrats were able to get it back for the short term when the Democratic governor died and his wife took the office. And then Claire McCaskill won independently in the last fall's election in 2006. And frankly, she's a little disappointing. Claire McCaskill is a very conservative Democrat. And, you know, some people would argue that that's what it takes to get elected in a very red state like Missouri. But I'd like to see us, and I'm going to talk about it in the next segment, identify some of these conservative Democrats, not just on the war in Iraq, but on other issues as well, and see if we can find challengers to run against them in the primary coming up next spring. Because I think that's what progressives need to do to try to reclaim a voice in the process and show the centrist Democrats that not only we can't be wedged in and taken for granted, but that we will not go silently as we see more and more of these blue dogs and other conservatives join the Bush administration in funding this occupation, in legalizing the law-breaking and the NSA spying programs, in permitting the you know, gross embarrassments of Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib to continue, and in fact to legalize Bush's efforts to decouple us from the Geneva Conventions and from habeas corpus. These are sins that I cannot forgive. And I'd like to see progressives rally to challenge those who have prevaricated and throw them out next year. I want to thank you for a great call, and you're very well informed, sir. Thank you for joining us. Call me again here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I want to be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building the weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my pants in the Congress and I show them my ass. If they kiss, it's the ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try. Cause I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I am the meanest damn mother ever got on a mic. I am a George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. There was a man called Satan, but they called him a saint. He had everything and I won't, and it drove me insane. This diplomacy is a thing of the past. To just put two bunker busted caps in his ass. I get hard on my man on the button at night. I'm delivering peace in the name of Jesus Christ. I got together with my buddies to have and have more. Said I got a way of giving jobs to the poor. I called him Mr. Nike and he said just do it. I flopped it out for Tony Blair and he blew it. We never did find the weapons, but that's alright. Because I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like.
We believe that one originates from the nation of New Zealand. It's a guy named Andrew Horobin, and it's called Georgie Boy here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you in the free speech zone. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And I'd love to talk with you about whatever is on your mind. We've got Peter V. in Salinas joining us right now. Peter, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
How you doing?
I'm disgusted, Peter. As you've reiterated today, the Democrats showing their continued gutless, spineless inability to stand up to George Jr. doing what he likes.
Yeah.
And, Peter, I have just one recommendation, and that's Melanie Sloan for Attorney General.
Wouldn't that be great?
It really would. And on top of that, you made a great point, Peter, when you said, built into the legislation, I can guarantee will be no consequences for the telecommunication company that sold us down the river knowingly as well. There's lawyers that signed off on this thing somewhere, Peter.
Yeah.
And as well, our own officials complicit in this thing will not be held to that big A word. And, Peter, for the Democrats, I'm afraid it's time for me to invoke the F word. That's right, Peter. Filibuster. What's wrong with these people?
Right.
Get a phone book.
Yeah, the idea that there aren't enough votes is simply a lame excuse. There are parliamentary methods. There are efforts like David Obie has proposed to simply not produce an appropriation bill to pay for the war. And the Democrats are so cowardly because they're afraid that the Republicans will call them names. They'll call them a pussy. And, you know, I'm sorry, that's not the kind of political leadership we expected. And we can't tolerate it. We have to make it very clear that this is simply not working, and the Democrats cannot rely on us next year if they continue to sell us out.
Peter, I can only suspect complicity. The Democrats aren't just rolling over. It seems to me there's got to be Samsonites full of money somewhere involved in this whole scenario. And my last suggestion, Peter, is we all need to get copies of Mr. Smith goes to Washington and send them to our elected representatives.
All right, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And that leaves a line open. In fact, the whole switchboard's open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And let me see if I can get this to load properly. It's a clip from Jon Stewart's Daily Show about the little T word and the way the Bush administration uses it. As you know, this administration doesn't torture people. That's because they have redefined the word torture.
I'm not a crook.
Start tonight by turning back the clock! Oh, boom! The year was 2004. Hey, lit up the charts. Sideways made alcoholism smart again. And President Bush had something he wanted the American people to know.
I have never ordered torture. I will never order torture.
I will never have ordered torture. I never would have had ordered torture. That's me not torturing in the conditional pluperfect. Why the need to clarify our lack of torturing? Well, the president had made that declaration in 2004. On the same day, secret Justice Department memos came to light, defining torture only as treatment that could cause, quote, organ failure or even death. So ask your doctor, is torture right for you? So there was the president adamantly saying to the world, we will not kill you or your organs. Other than that, start talking. The domestic and international outcry prompted by the Justice Department memo spurred Congress to explicitly ban cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of U.S. prisoners anywhere in the world, and the Supreme Court reinforced the ban, once again allowing America to reclaim the moral high ground until last Friday.
This government does not torture.
Oh, boy. Let's see the memo now. Yes, apparently, while the United States Congress banned torture, the executive branch assured the CIA that its interrogation techniques didn't count as torture. And what techniques were those? Well, I guess it's time to play another round of cruel, inhuman, degrading, or OTE.
So on the screen are buttons marked cruel, degrading, inhuman, or OTE.
Here's some extreme temperatures on naked detainees. Go! It's OTE. Number two, sleep deprivation under a barrage of thundering rock music. OTE. Number three, simulated drowning. It's OTE. Really thought it was going to be degrading there just for a second. In fact, the only tactics that the Justice Department memo deemed off limits were those that would, quote, shock the conscience. Ironically, shocking the conscience itself? OTE.
So that's Jon Stewart from The Daily Show last night.
Frances Townsend, herself just renditioned from a tanning salon, spin simulated drowning.
We start with the least harsh measures first. It stops after, if someone it becomes cooperative.
That's not a defense of torture. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work the other way around. What we do is we electrocute the balls. And if that doesn't work, hot chocolate, a story, and maybe some cake. It's not working out.
So this is a stunning satirical analysis of the Bush administration's torture policy, the way it has tortured the language in order to justify the so-called enhanced interrogation techniques. And that's just a euphemism for torture. And the corporate media in this country does not give you even this level of analysis that John Stewart provided in a humorous satirical setting. And that's one of the serious problems that we face right now, is that our corporate media is so bought off or, you know, allied with the Bush administration that they won't offer the kind of critical commentary that, sadly, you can only get from a comedy news show. Let's go back to your calls here at 888-5, Peter B. Nancy's on the line from Winters on you there by 505.
Yes, uh-huh.
Great. Good to have you listening. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Yeah, I've been enjoying your show. Yeah, there's a number of comments that I've wanted to make when I've been listening to you the last few weeks, but I wanted to specifically comment on why a lot of these politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, seem to, you know, speak out strongly against what's going on, and then they'll back off.
Yeah.
I saw Ray McGovern speak in Stockton last year at UOP.
Isn't he an amazing guy?
Yeah, he really is. And yeah. For listeners who may not know, he's a retired CIA analyst. I'm sure most of your listeners probably do know.
Yeah, he's been on our show maybe a dozen times in the past year.
Yeah, and he did the presidential daily briefings for the first President Bush. And so, anyway, during the question and answer period, someone asked if the politicians were being blackmailed. And he said yes. He confirmed it. He said that does happen.
And what was he linking that to? Blackmail that we will reveal
your
secret mistress?
Well, I'll tell you the example
that he gave.
Yeah, he said, for instance, I'll tell you how it works. He says, two FBI agents show up at the door. He says they always come in twos. And they will say, Senator Spector, we see that you've been visiting Mary so-and-so every weekend now for quite some time. And we see that you've been doing this, and we see you've been doing that. And by the way, President Bush would like this legislation to pass.
Hmm.
And he said it happens. And that was exactly the example he gave.
Well, it's hard to imagine that all of the Democrats are compromised or compromisable.
No, I don't think that that's true. I think that there are probably those that are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are those who are probably, you know, making money on things. There are probably those who are cowed by the administration. They're scared.
Yeah.
I think there's a variety of reasons. But I talked to him afterwards, and I told him, I said, well, I was glad to hear you say that because, you know, there's so many of us who think that there's something going on because of the fact that they come out real strongly and then they back off. And so, anyway, that was coming from McGovern, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I just thought I'd offer that as a comment.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention, Nancy?
Well, you also had Daniel Ellsberg on.
Right.
And he was requesting that or hoping that other people would do what he did and coming forth with information, other government employees and so forth that...
Oh, somehow you went on hold there. You're back. Go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, okay. He was hoping that people would come forth with information like he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to suggest that this could be for the military as well, for people who, like Aaron Watada. Now,
mm-hmm.
he stood up and said he did not think it was right to go into Iraq, so he refused to do it. And I think our military needs to start, you know, because Nuremberg has, you know, said that following orders is not a good enough excuse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asked to do something illegal, you shouldn't do it. And also along these...
Well, let me just amplify on that, Nancy, because
sure.
We have active duty military listening in Monterey
mm-hmm.
who attend the Language Institute and uh-huh. in the Defense Graduate School. And also we have active military in the Sacramento and Travis
right.
Areas. And I just want to encourage you within your own conscience to consider that if you have information about the intentions of the Bush administration to launch a military attack on Iran, I believe that it is your duty to bring that information forward and try to stop this folly before it is green-lighted. And I understand the oath that you've taken and the duty that you feel to our country, but the real duty you have is to the Constitution, not to the President, not to your military superiors. And so if you are in a position to stop a criminal act, like the initiation of a military assault unprovoked on Iran. I argue that it is your duty to come forward, and I hope you'll wrestle with that, even if it happens in the middle of the night. Nancy, go ahead.
No, I think that that's exactly, you said very eloquently what I was trying to say. And I just wanted to mention that, you know, you've interviewed Dave Dionisi. He wrote American Hiroshima, and he's established this group called Teach Peace.
Right.
And in his current newsletter, he's a former military officer, for people who don't know.
He's yes, he is.
Military intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a little paragraph in his newsletter that encourages that as well. And he says, as a former officer in the military, he is encouraging exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Nancy, thanks for listening.
Sure.
Great to hear from you today.
Thank you.
Call me again, okay?
Bye-bye.
888-5 Peter B, and we're in the free speech zone. It's 13 minutes in front of the hour. There's room for another caller or two, so don't be shy. 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by the able Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. Our website is peterbcollins.com. Check out our new enhanced podcasts. It's easier than ever before.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
All righty, let's take a little traffic, because traffic is the thing that we do here. Santa Cruz, Graham Hill Road at Rawlingswood. An accident, a vehicle into a ditch. CHP is on scene and present, handling that situation. Salinas, southbound 101 before Spence Road. Heads up for a large plastic lid in the lane. Don't know what kind of lid it is, but it's a lid. That's what they're telling us. And northbound 101, a little bit, some slow-and-go traffic in and out of Salinas. That's northbound and southbound 101. Northbound also slows a little bit. We had word from San Miguel Canyon turnoff. Also want to look at the southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, looking pretty good at this point. No major, no problems there. And northbound 17, southbound 17, checking in with absolutely no problems. That's traffic with KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here, taking your calls in the free speed zone, 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. Eric knows how to dial the number. He's in Sacramento listening to 1240 Talk City. Hello, Eric. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. I enjoy your show, and I talked to you last week. But I normally don't call, but I was implored to call because I was watching Oberman, and he had Bruce Fine on there.
Yeah, he's great.
Here's a guy who's like the opposite of me politically, but there are certain things that if you're an American citizen that are just common.
Mm-hmm.
And he ascribes to the Constitution being enforced, and he talked about how, it's kind of what you've alluded to previously, but basically how the Democrats aren't standing up and that they have the constitutional power to challenge Bush on some of these claims. And that they're just giving them liberty to basically obliterate the Constitution. And what you were encouraging government people to do if they're aware something's going to happen, how about giving that speech to the Democratic caucus?
Well, you make a good point. And, Eric, it's interesting. Bruce Fine served in the Reagan administration at the Federal Communications Commission. He also was part of the Ken Starr legal team that impeached Bill Clinton. And, I guess Eric's gone. I, of course, felt that Bill Clinton narrowly deserved to be indicted, you know, the first phase of impeachment where charges are returned by the House of Representatives, because I have to concede he did lie under oath to the grand jury about the affair with Monica. That said, Bruce Fine is somebody who recognizes that the issues confronting us from the misdeeds of the Bush administration are far more important than the sexual escapades of Bill and Monica and his failure to be honest about them. And on this, I just fully agree with Bruce Fine and John Dean, who was also on our program last week. These are Republicans who have said enough. They know that the power grab, the aggressive attempt to expand presidential power by Dick Cheney and his acolytes in this administration is very dangerous for our country and threatens our very Constitution. And Bruce Fine has been, I've heard him on the Tom Hartman program, he's been on my show three or four times, and he articulates the values that really go beyond partisanship. And one of the reasons why I believe the Democrats are so weak and continue to be buffaloed by the Bushies is because they took impeachment off the table. And you've heard me talk about this. I believe that we should hold these people accountable, up to and including impeachment, up to and including removal from office. Now, that said, at this late stage of the lame duck presidency of G.W. Bush, I don't really have any honest hopes that there will be an impeachment proceeding and that it would ultimately lead to removal of Cheney and or Bush. But I believe their very failure to leave that option on the table and to have some option, some way to address the overreaches and the intentional lawbreaking of this administration has left them defanged, and Bush knows it. And so he just continues to bulldoze the Democrats, and they continue to lie down for it. And it's really shameful, and I wish I had a different song to sing. I wish I could tell you how, you know, Nancy Pelosi is this brilliant leader and that it's not her fault. Well, we have an interview request into the speaker, and I don't know exactly if or when she will agree to come on the program. But the longer she waits, the angrier I get. So, on that note, I want to direct you to a website that I only recently discovered, but it's been around for a while. It's called downwithtyranny.blogspot.com. And I guess the only tricky word there is tyranny, T-Y-R-A-N-N-Y, tyranny, downwithtyranny.blogspot.com. And this is an effort of one man, a guy named Howie Klein. And I know Howie a little bit. He was here in the Bay Area in the 1980s, and he started a record label called 415 Records. One of my favorite bands of the 80s, Wire Train, was on that label. And that's how I got acquainted with Howie. He went on to become the president of Reprise Records, part of the Warner Elektra Atlantic colossus in Los Angeles. And for a time, he was Madonna's boss. He ran the record label Sire that featured Talking Heads and many other great bands. He's Morrissey's personal counselor and record label chief. And somewhere, I don't know exactly when, Howie Klein bailed out of the record industry. Probably did pretty well financially. And now he blogs and blogs and blogs. So I'd like you to go to the site. Again, it's downwithtyranny.blogspot.com. And you got to scroll down a ways because the post that he put up yesterday on Monday is the one I'm referring to. And it relates to the Children's Health Care Insurance Bill, the S-CHIP program, that was the expanded legislation was vetoed by the president last week. And what Howie points out is the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has identified a bunch of Republicans who voted against S-CHIP, and they are now using robocalls, you know, those annoying telephone recordings, to voters in the districts of some of these Republicans hoping that they're vulnerable. And I support that. I think it's just fine. But Howie Klein suggests taking it a step further. He writes, "We at Blue America don't think our pals at the DCCC have gone quite far enough. Let's not forget, there are some issues that are fundamental to being a Democrat, such as guaranteeing health care for sick kids. That's a reason why we're Democrats and not Republicans. So we want to lend a hand to the D-Trip." Howie writes, "There are only five reactionary renegade Democrats who are supporting Bush instead of their constituents on this." Right. 24 votes in the House are needed to override a presidential veto. And five of those are bad Democrats. Jim Marshall from Georgia, Mike McIntyre and Bob Etheridge of North Carolina, Barron Hill of Indiana, and Gene Taylor of Mississippi. Keep those guys in mind. And go to this blog. There's a toll-free number there that you can use to call Capitol Hill. And let Barron Hill and Gene Taylor and Bob Etheridge and Mike McIntyre and Jim Marshall know that what they've done is not democratic and that you oppose it.
Happy trails to you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Why don't we do this again tomorrow? Same time, same great radio stations.
Happy trails to you.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A gathering of Republican presidential hopefuls in Michigan this afternoon marked the debate debut of former Senator Fred Thompson, who was asked by a moderator on MSNBC if he should have started sooner.
No, I don't think I waited too long. Oh, seems about right to me.
CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes was there.
Fred Thompson and members of his campaign staff had been lowering the bar for his performance here in Dearborn at his first debate for weeks, so it's clear to say that he easily surpassed those expectations. He's also got the monkey off his back, so to speak. He hasn't debated in more than a decade, and now he shows he's a member of the pack and he can hold his own.
While Thompson talked about the need for fiscal restraint, the session was dominated by Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani trading barbs over who has the best record as a tax cutter. It's a landmark settlement in the long legal battle over acid rain. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadaka says American Electric Power, with coal-fired generating plants in five states, has agreed to spend billions to clean up its act.
The core of the settlement is a $4.6 billion plan by American Electric Power to sharply reduce hazardous emissions over the next decade. The coalition that sued AEP, the federal government, states, and environmental groups, blame those emissions for environmental damage and major health effects. The Justice Department estimates the health cost savings alone of some $32 billion each year.
Federal health officials say they're tracking a large salmonella outbreak in several states that's been linked to Banquet frozen pot pies. The manufacturer, ConAgra Foods, advises consumers not to eat the chicken or turkey pot pies. Company spokeswoman Stephanie Child suggests improper cooking is the problem.
Products such as these that are not ready to eat must be cooked thoroughly according to the package directions. In order to help eliminate many of the most common pathogens.
At this point, the company has not initiated a recall. Federal authorities announced today that a three-month sweep in 23 cities resulted in the arrest of more than 1,300 violent gang members. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports that crackdown started in 2005, and it seems to be bearing fruit.
This is an attempt by the Department of Homeland Security through ICE, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, to crack down on the leadership of these gangs. And what they're starting to see, according to federal agents, is after a couple of years,